Fast food may have been a little slower today in the US. Across the country, thousands of fast food workers have been holding one-day strikes during peak mealtime hours to protest against what they say are the pitifully inadequate wages they're paid. There's a growing campaign for them to be paid not the minimum wage of $7.25 or just above it, but what they call a living wage of nearer $15 an hour. And it's a debate which may be particularly pointed in the US right now, but it's also being held in a number of industrialised economies, including the United Kingdom. So who's right? Those who say a living wage is about dignity, or those who say that such a huge hike in the baseline would kill jobs? David Newmark is Professor of Economics at the University of California, Irvine. David Cooper is an analyst with the Economic Policy Institute in Washington, D.C. He told me what the case was for a living wage.
I think what we're seeing going on right now is these workers in high-cost cities working for highly profitable companies are standing up and saying that they're not making enough just to make ends meet. They can't even afford basic necessities. So, you know, when you have workers that aren't being paid enough just to go out and afford the basic things you need to live, then the economy stalls. We need people making enough money so that they can go out and spend that money and generate more business for local businesses, for corporations, for whomever, so that the whole economy can thrive. Well, at the same time, no workers are being paid such low wages that they have to be receiving government programs like Medicaid and other supports.
Professor Neumark?
It's Newmark, first of all, but that's fine.
I do apologize.
Not a problem.
I'll try to get the rest of the interview right.
Let me say two things. In answer to your question, who's right, I mean, both of those statements are right. There is a problem of low wages in the U.S., certainly. We do have a low minimum wage, and we unfortunately have a lot of unskilled workers earning those wages. However, I would argue that there's overwhelming evidence that at least if the government steps in and tries to force up wages, there are some winners from that. Some people will earn higher wages, but there's also some job loss. I should say anyone who claims confidently we know what would happen if we raised the minimum wage from $7.25 to $15 isn't really on very solid ground because we have no experience with anything like that.
And yet a lot of the debate, certainly here in the United Kingdom when a minimum wage was introduced, and it was introduced much more recently than the United States, was that it would kill jobs. It didn't seem to happen.
Right. And that's actually, you know, the argument that's made every time there's calls for increases in the minimum wage. And, you know, this is an issue that has been debated and researched for decades. And you know, all the research basically shows there's some research showing it has a small negative effect, some that shows it has a small positive effect. The bottom line is that, you know, it really has no measurable impact on employment. But what we do know is that it does raise the wages of these workers. It does raise the take-home pay of these workers. And right now, they're barely making enough to survive.
Right. That's a mischaracterization of the research. I mean, I did an extensive research survey paper in 2007 that surveyed about 110 studies or so, mainly in the U.S. but also other places. And the lion's share of the evidence points to negative effects. You could say they're not big, and in fact, I agree with that. They're not that big. But I think pitching to policymakers or pitching to the public the idea that this is really a free lunch, that there isn't some job loss, is incorrect. That doesn't mean it's not a good idea, right? You could imagine a sort of scenario where there's a lot of wage increases, there's some job loss, there's winners and losers, and we decide the gains to the winners outweigh the losses to the losers.
David Cooper, isn't there a point that at the moment, especially with the economy growing so feebly in the US and in many industrialized countries around the world, that it's just not the sort of time to be loading extra costs on employers?
I would disagree. In fact, I would say that this is exactly the time that we should be trying to shift more income from the recipients of corporate profits to low-wage workers, because we know that low-wage workers are the group of individuals that are most likely to spend each additional dollar that they earn because they have to just to survive. And that's what the U.S. economy needs right now. We need more demand. We need more people going out there and spending money.
Isn't it also true, Professor Newmark, that right now income inequality is growing in the U.S. as in many other countries, and this is just one way of trying to stop that seemingly inexorable trend?
There's no question this kind of movement and in general the impetus for raising the minimum wage that the president's been pushing is a response to inequality. I think it's important to separate the way we'd like the world to be and how best to get there. The minimum wage will reduce inequality, obviously, for those who keep their jobs. It comes at some cost. It's facile, but, you know, in some sense, what we really need to do is raise skill level so that there aren't many people earning these kind of wages. That, unfortunately, is much harder to do and takes the government spending a lot more money than this seeming fix of just forcing employers to pay more.
Well, certainly we do need to increase skill levels. We need to increase education. But right now, the big problem that the U.S. is facing is this huge lack of demand. We need more demand for our goods and services. 70% of the U.S. economy is consumer spending. It's consumer demand. So if people aren't making enough money to go out and afford their basic necessities, then the system stalls and the economy is not going to be growing at the levels it should be growing at.
I think it would be very hard to find a macroeconomist who thinks that the stimulative effects of a minimum wage increase amount to more than a hill of beans. I mean, I debate minimum wages with lots of people all the time on both sides. And even some of the very strong advocates of minimum wages readily acknowledge that the stimulus effect is not the issue here. The issue of inequality, the issue of a decent standard of living,
Right. Those
are real issues. We can argue about, other policies that might or might not be more effective. I don't think the stimulus argument should even be on the table.
That was Professor David Newmark, and we also heard from David Cooper from the Economic Policy Institute in Washington, D.C.